and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into combat sports.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide is brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC.
That is just a fact of life.
And now, the host of the longest-running fight show in radio and internet history, Pedro Fernandez.
Woo, it's going to be good.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen, live emanating from the Sports Byline Studios in San Francisco. Check it! This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Often imitated but never duplicated, welcome to hour number two of WBC TV. WBC TV, of course, our fourth edition, lacking the video feed because the computer went out here. Of course, we'll call in the technicians tomorrow and get this straightened out. But the bottom line is no video this today. We did some yesterday, but no video today. Just audio, of course, live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, SiriusXM, Satellite Radio, and like a thousand other internet platforms. Of course, the Undisputed World Junior Middleweight Champion, as far as females are concerned, Clarissa Shields was the winner Friday night, of course, with the pay-per-view card. She beat up a girl by the name of Marie Dakar over 10 rounds, 10 unanimous rounds, of course, a shutout win for her. Now she's talking about going into the world of mixed martial arts. What can I say? I want to see her fight Amanda Nunes. We heard about Amanda Nunes. We heard from her an hour and a half. Of course, they win her last night in the UFC 259, coming to us from Las Vegas, Nevada, beating an overmatched foe. But the bottom line is, Clarissa Shields talks a lot. That would be something to see her step into the world of mixed martial arts and really rough it up. Speaking of boxing, we got it going on, baby. March 12th, of course, DAZN's going to go with the kid from, gotta have problems with his name, the kid from Thailand, Rungvisai Sirisakit, going to take on another guy from Thailand. Bottom line is, that's going to be on the 12th. As far as Superfly is concerned, 115 pounds. That guy can fight. March 12th as well, Luis Crocker and Denise Ibe. That's going to go on ESPN+. Plus. Of course, the 12th, Dennis Contreras as well. That's going to be on Telemundo. But the 13th is going to rock, baby, DAZN. Man, Juan Estrada, Chocolito Gonzalez, of course, don't think much of Chocolito anymore, but what can you say? Anyway, March 13th as well, David Benavidez and Ronald Ellis. That is the fight. That is the fight in the next couple weeks. There's no doubt about it. And then the 18th, NBC Sports Channel coming back with some more boxing. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, back with Jackie Sunshine Smith after the break.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
He is the greatest fighter of all times, next to me.
Not a he, it's a she. I'm talking about Jackie Sunshine Smith. Of course, Sunshine Boxing, she's been around for a while. I don't say how long, but her and I go back a few years. Bottom line is, she's coming to us from Atlanta, GA. What's up, Miss Jackie?
Doing fine down here, Pedro. We have the NBA All-Star Game going on. I won't even watch it because I'm not a basketball fan, but it's bringing a lot of people here that we don't need.
Okay, good point. You promoted the that fight between Evander Holyfield and Von Bean. Are you involved in that promotion with Don King? What year was that at the Omni?
Oh, gosh.
About 2000?
I think it was like, I don't know, in the 80s.
No.
It was in the 80s. I don't remember my year now. It's been so many fights.
Okay.
It must have been sometime in the 90s. I know I quit my job at Delta Airlines to take the promotional job.
Okay. So, speaking of, let's talk about your background. Grambling State University, what'd you major in?
Business Administration Management with a minor in Human Resources.
Okay. All right. That's interesting. So, how did you get involved in boxing? I mean, you know, like you're, I don't want to say you're an icon, but you're like, you know, you're the gender bender in the world of boxing as far as journalists are concerned. And women, I mean, come on, you know, you sort of stepped up before all the other chicks.
Well, I had an inside track with Don King as my mentor. So when you start at the top, you meet everyone at the top, and then you meet everyone else. So I think that gave me an advantage getting into the business. But I started by watching Gillette Friday night fights in the 60s with my dad.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, I was boxing in the neighborhood, beating up the boys mainly. I was the neighborhood champ. We put on shows in a neighbor's backyard with four Coca-Cola crates and a rope tied between them for our ring and charged 5 cents to get in. We did that for a while, and then eventually I grew up, went to college, came to Atlanta, and that's where I met Don King for the Tubbs Witherspoon fight. Mm-hmm. I was doing public relations at that time, and Don invited me to Vegas for the Making of a Champion, which was Mike Tyson's first title fight. So after that, he just took me on and taught me things that some of the guys in Atlanta taught me lessons, too. I'll give you that much. You could always learn from people in boxing.
Okay. So the 5 cents to get in to watch the fights, did you charge them like 3 cents to look through a hole in the fence like pay-per-view?
No, but you know what? The neighbors' yards on both sides, they couldn't have access to it, so otherwise they could just stand there and watch us anyway.
Don King. Now, you and I have fond thoughts of Don King, and we've had some good times and some bad times with him. Let's be honest with everybody. There's been good times and bad times with him. And we watched him evolve. I mean, he was bigger than life. He just was. I mean, anywhere we went outside of Muhammad Ali and people like that, and maybe Mike Tyson in boxing, Don King would stop traffic.
Yeah. And I remember him before the jewelry.
Before the bling?
Yes, it's funny.
Okay, I remember in 1974 I saw this guy on television with his hair, and he was promoting this Rumble in the Jungle, and they're talking about this fight's going to be on closed circuit television, Muhammad Ali and George Foreman and all this kind of stuff, and George Foreman was from my gym from here. We both started in the same gym, basically, in San Francisco. Actually, I started in the boys' club, but I graduated in Newman's gym later in life. But I watched him in 1967. My father told me he was a bully. I said, Dad, why is he a bully? He goes, look, he's beating up on guys so much smaller than him. You know, because George has sparring partners that were built like me.
Oh, my goodness.
And you see how big that dude was.
Well, wasn't that the average size of a heavyweight back in the day?
No. Are you trying to tell me? I used to say this. Remember, I used to say in the old days that a Mexican heavyweight was a fat middleweight. You know, but no, George was a bully. Listen, when George used to pound on those dudes in the gym, we used to sit there and you could, listen, he's thudding these guys. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he's hitting these guys really hard and you felt sorry. You can't, $5 a round wasn't enough.
Well, he admitted that he was a bully.
Well, and all the positive stuff about George. Well, I will say one more thing about George before we move on. When he made that dog jump off that balcony to its death, when he bet somebody the dog would follow his orders and jump off that balcony, jump off that table onto his death, that to me, that was sort of like, I talked to him about that one time. Who told you? He didn't deny it. He never denied it. Who told you that?
Wow.
Yeah.
One of his German shepherds, because he loved those German shepherds.
Yeah, one of his German shepherds. Another thing, and the only one that had German shepherds in Africa were the slave masters. So then George brought a couple of German shepherds with him.
Oh, yeah. I heard about that. But he still breeds those German shepherd dogs.
Yeah, I know that. But enough of the dogs. Being the gender mender in promoting boxing, It's been rough at certain times, I'm pretty sure. What was the toughest thing you've had to face as being a woman?
The first time someone called me a bitch in the boxing gym, and he said it so loud that his voice vibrated off the wall. And you know how noisy it is in a boxing gym, and everyone's hitting the bags and sparring. It was two rings. We were out at the Doraville boxing gym. And I'll never forget it because, you know, up until then, everyone had been pretty decent with me, you know. Mm-hmm. And I would come in after work in my high heels, stockings, and two-piece suits, you know, because I was an employment interviewer. So I would come in every day and deal with my fighter. I had a heavyweight at the time that this guy was training. And then he got angry, and he called me the bitch, And then at that moment, I stood there in the gym, and everyone was looking at me, and I thought, oh, my God, if I don't do anything about this, they would never respect me again. Mm-hmm. So I looked him in the eye, and I told him, bitch, B-I-T-C-H, being in total control of herself, and you just can't stand it, you faggot.
Ooh,
true enough, He was gay.
This is live radio.
I mean, no offense for gay people.
No offense. You just don't say that on the radio, Jackie.
I forgot.
You just don't say that.
That's what I told him. After that, we were okay. He continued to train my fighter. We took him to a fight down in Florida on HBO on the Roy Jones undercard, and the guy won the fight. Then I got rid of him.
Okay. What about the Vietnamese Boxing Federation? What's this tie you have with the Vietnamese? Now, you know, I love my Vietnamese food here in the city, man. But the best Vietnamese food I've ever found in the country was in Lawton, Oklahoma.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. Is that weird or what?
I know. Now, we have several great Vietnamese restaurants here, but how did I get involved? Oh, I met a friend in Dubai who happened to she was Vietnamese, but she lived in Dubai with her husband, and she invited me to come to Vietnam, and initially I was like, no, because I only travel if it's boxing business. She said, okay, my friend is in charge of the amateurs. I said, but I'm in pro, and unless they're doing pro. So eventually I went over within a year, met with some people, and we started getting involved with trying to legalize boxing, professional boxing in Vietnam. That eventually happened. And then I started working with the Vietnam Boxing Federation to get them affiliated with sanctioning bodies like the WBO, IBF, to get their fighters going from amateur into professional boxing. So they're still, you know, haven't really progressed at the speed I wanted to, but they're doing well. They are having some professional boxing, but of course the pandemic set everyone back because my partner is there. We had planned a show for May.
Okay.
Matter of fact, to honor Sugar Ray Leonard, and everything was canceled for 2020. Okay. So eventually we'll get back to business and start putting on shows again, large shows, because this was an 11,000-seat Oceanside venue.
Well, I'll say this. I spent 8 days in Dubai, and it was hell. I didn't want to talk about it. I was in the hospital twice. Dubai was hell. Now let's talk about this speech you're supposed to make. Tell me about it. I mean, people in the boxing world say, Jackie's doing what?
Well, tomorrow, March 8th, is International Women's Day. So I had been a USA delegate for several years for the African Renaissance in South Africa. I've been asked to speak on their International Women's Day program in KwaZulu-Natal, the premier's office, which is similar to a governor here, basically equivalent to a governor. So the governor's office of KwaZulu-Natal, that's metro city would probably be Durban, the largest one, Pietermaritzburg, the capital of KwaZulu-Natal. Mm-hmm. And I will be speaking on how women can support each other during the pandemic. And, of course, I'll use boxing analogy.
Well, as well you always do, I want to give you props, girl. I mean, the degree, the fact that you've such a standing figure in boxing and, of course, in the world at large. And Don King tells me, the girl's smart. That's what he told me one time. The girl's smart. So if you've got Don King backing you up like that, thinking that you're pretty smart, you must be brilliant. Anyway, I wish you well. Good luck in your speech, and we'll talk real soon, Princess.
All right, you have to beat me. You forget I'm in boxing. You know, we forget sometimes.
Don't forget the FCC, the Federal Communications Division. Talk to you soon, Princess. Jackie
All right,
Smith.
I love you.
Jackie
Bye-bye.
Smith on Ring Talk Live Worldwide, WBC TV. Next, we take it to the UK and Kenny Rainford.
You're listening to Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez, brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC, right here on Sports Byline.
Okay, let's go.
Let's take it across the pond to the UK and bring up my man, Kenny Rainford. Kenny, how's life treating you, man?
How are you?
That's good. How's life is good back there?
Oh, yeah, it's okay. You know, we're slowly edging towards getting out of this
this lockdown business with the pandemic. But, you know, there's lights on the horizon.
Are you surprised that Josh Taylor is a slight betting favorite over Jose Ramirez when they clash for the unified 140-pound championship in May?
May 22nd, yeah. I think Josh Taylor will beat Ramirez. I think, as we were discussing the other week, Taylor's a bit special. But it's a real, real, real close fight for me. But I think Taylor can pull it off.
Is he the next heir apparent to superstardom as far as boxers are concerned in the UK, you think?
He's probably, aside from the heavyweights, he's probably the most talked about fighter at the moment in the UK, definitely.
Okay, speaking of the heavyweights, the latest odds for Tyson Fury and Anthony Joshua, is it going to happen?
It's going to happen, but it's the age old thing, Everyone's keeping it to themselves. I'm told through various sources that it's a done deal, even though I'm told, Joshua hasn't signed Fury hasn't signed any agreement yet.
Okay. Fury is a 7-4 favorite, according to some of the odds makers in the UK. AJ, a 7-4 underdog, and a draw is at 22-1. 30-0, a draw, of course, with Deontay Wilder, which he erased when he obliterated Deontay in that rematch. He's the linear world champion. The other guy's got a bunch of belts, but why are they so significant considering Tyson Fury's the guy?
Well, he is the guy. There's no two ways about it. He's the man who beat the man. You can't deny the Anthony Joshua sidestepped Deontay Wilder numerous times. He didn't want the fight. The fight was too dangerous for him. Along comes Tyson Fury and just lands the fight, and the rest is history.
Yeah. Deontay Wilder, of course, having 1,001 excuses. It was the helmet, then Tyson Fury tampered with the gloves, and there was this and there was that. But here's a good one. Mark Breland, who I happen to think is the most honest, square I've ever met in boxing. And I met a lot of people, Kenny, but he's just such a square. It's unbelievable. I mean, he won't walk against the rules and nothing like that. This is Mark. But he tried to say that Mark drugged him and put Valiums and put muscle relaxers in his water. I mean, what audacity, what chutzpah.
That's out of order. It's not professional. Be a man, stand up, say you got beaten and be a man and come back and try and avenge the loss.
Okay. Billy Joe Sanders, can he bring something special? Can he bring something special to the dance with Canelo? He's unbeaten.
He can make a fight of it. He's certainly got guts. He can certainly make a fight of it. He'll give Canelo probably, one of his hardest fights as of late. That charade the other week was what it was, a charade, But Billy Joe Saunders will definitely come to fight, and he'll definitely come to win. Has he got the tools to beat Canelo? I don't think he has.
Canelo, of course, going in there. But, people are, everybody's dogging the guy that he fought. But let's be honest. He went in there and he thrashed a guy for 3 rounds, and then the guy quit on the stool. But if you looked into his eyes, Kenny, I looked into that guy's eyes. He was frightened. You can't say, I understand he's a professional. I understand he was a professional fighter in this stand, but he was headed towards annihilation. In other words, if he got off the stool, he was going to get annihilated. If he stayed on the stool, he could lose maybe a little bit of disgrace. You feel me? I think I would have taken, I know I'm a former boxer, but I think I might have taken the easy way out there too.
Big news tonight as well. Josh Taylor, who recently got absolutely slaughtered by the Kid Lara, they've signed for a rematch, which I think is a pretty dangerous fight for Josh Warrington to be taken. Considering how bad a beating he took,
My PhD, Socrates Palmer, on Saturday, boxing's PhD, he picked that. He picked the guy. The guy's a 25-1 underdog. And I said, why are you picking him? He goes, because he's 25 years old, blah, 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 or something like that. And he's Mexican. And he said that Warrington was one of those guys that really can't punch. And in other words, if you stick around long enough and you can't punch at those lighter weights, you're going to get taken out via surprise. He thought this was the one. I was surprised that he pulled that off. But Warrington, I guess he realizes that there's no other money for him. I mean, if he were to take a couple other fights and he were to be exposed in those fights, he wouldn't make a dime.
Yeah. That's pretty much right, yeah. So, like I say, it's the only way for him back is to avenge the loss. Similar kind of beating as though it was a one-punch knockout that we got coming up March 27th with Dillian White and Povetkin.
My, he's not my favorite guy, Dillian White. If I've ever said anything good about him, maybe it's been his record. I'm just not a big fan of his. For some reason, he turns me the other way. And of course, Alexander Povetkin, the perennial underdog there. I mean, the guy came in there, was getting lit up pretty good. And then he landed that one shot, that beautiful shot. Does he duplicate that, or that was a fluke and White's going to be able to, come back in the rematch? How do you see that?
I can see probably White, winning a decision. It'd be a careful fight, similar to Joshua and Ruiz, I seem to think. But you can never rule out, you know, Povetkin, he's got that ace on him where he knows he can knock him out if he gets him right. So, you know, will he plod forward just looking for the one shot, or will he look to outwork White? I think it'd be on the edge of your seat fight, but I can see White pulling out a decision win there.
You know, Kenny Rainford, the UK, is our guest, our special guest. Kenny, you know, Andy Ruiz, you mentioned him. The fact, I saw a picture of him the other day, and I almost dropped it. I thought it was a touched-up picture. He's lost a lot of weight.
Yeah. He's throwing the menu away.
Oh, every menu. The alleged cocaine, the booze, all that kind of good stuff. He let it go. It's funny. It's that he went to camp at 317 pounds. He fought like at 283. In any other weight class in boxing, he would have been ruled unfit to box. So we sort of should have a physical standard as far as the heavyweight is concerned. Maybe not a weight standard, but a physical standard.
Most definitely. Definitely.
Does he look like? But he's. You know,
I'd like to see him fight Deontay Wilder.
Yeah, well, I don't know if Deontay is ever going to fight again. I sort of wonder. I mean, all the different excuses he said and different reasons he come up for losing. I mean, it's like every weekend is different, and they're preposterous. They're not only different; they're like out of this world.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So anyway, White takes Povetkin. What do you think of my man over here, real quick? What do you think of King Ryan Garcia? Ryan Garcia's on the cover of Ring Magazine this month. What do you think of the undefeated lad?
I like him.
Okay.
I really like him. Impresses me.
So is he the best of the lot there at 135?
Oh, yeah, probably.
You think he's better than Lopez, Teofimo Lopez?
I think he can become that way, yeah.
Whoa.
You don't think so yourself?
I think he's got the potential, no doubt about it. The guy that I don't think that has the potential, and people are going to shoot me because he was from San Francisco, and I live in San Francisco, was Devin Haney. I mean, Devin Haney, I think Ryan Garcia, no. He's going to fight Jorge Linares. Ryan calls him the email champion.
Yeah.
You know, but I would like to see Haney. I would like to see Haney and Garcia and these guys clash. And, you know, I mean, 135 pounds. There can't be, listen, Mauricio was on the show a couple weeks ago, and he was saying these guys at 135 will settle a score. There will be an undisputed champion by the end of 2021. So he's got like 9 months left.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So anyway, as far as TV is concerned in the UK, how do people watch television? How do people watch boxing in the UK?
Well, we have two major channels. There's BT Sports and there's Sky. And, you know, they buy in from DAZN and the likes, you know. But we have plenty of boxing on TV. I'd say there's only two channels. They compete well with one another. And, you know, we get to see pretty much every decent fight in the UK and abroad, you know.
Okay. Real quick. I got less than a minute left. Tell me your perspective of Joe Frazier. Of course, March 8th, 1971, he beats Muhammad Ali.
Man, I have very special memories of both Ali and Joe. I was very fortunate to have met the two of them. There's two of the perfect gentlemen around me. And I can remember as a child the animosity between my two fractions of family. My mother's side of the family picked Joe Frazier to win. My father's side of the family picked Ali to win. It was just a magical, magical time. And you talk about a man that hit the floor in the 15th round, was out on his feet in the 11th round, took a beating from hell, and still wanted to come back and reclaim his title.
Kenny Rainford on Ring Talk Live Worldwide, WBC TV. Take care, Ken.
Take it easy, buddy.
You're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, coming to you Saturday and Sunday, 11 a.m. Pacific Time, only on Sports Byline. check it. 40 minutes past the hour. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide, a.k.a. WBC TV. Without the video this week, the video computer went kaput like 2 minutes before showtime. It was like rock and roll, and then it went blank. So bottom line is we'll get a technician in this week to check it out. But if you want to watch any of our videos, you can always go to twitch.tv and check out the Sports Byline USA channel. Now, my name is Pedro Fernandez. Welcome back to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into the world of boxing and MMA. Bottom line is we talk about that Holyfield-Von Bean fight at the Atlanta Omni, of course, which Jackie Sunshine Smith took part of promoting, I think, with Don King. It was September 19th, 1998. Holyfield beats Bean over 12 rounds. Of course, I remember sitting with Bill Goldberg, the famed WWE or WCW wrestler, I think, at the time. Bottom line is he and I sat there, and that was the day before there was a weigh-in for this fight card. Of course, Holyfield and Bean were heavyweights. They really don't have to weigh in. They just step up and do their thing. Doesn't matter what the weight is. Now, of course, got a problem with that because look at Andy Ruiz coming in like 290 pounds. Anyway, bottom line is Bob Lee was the president of the International Boxing Federation at the time, and he was under investigation by the FBI. And I was working hand in hand with the FBI. I wasn't a snitch. I was a reporter. I was an investigative reporter working for Boxing Update magazine and Flash magazine, and I had my own website for a while, ringtalk.com. Anyway, I was the best investigative reporter out there, bar none. I mean, people can say what they want, but they can't take that away from me. Anyway, I was into these fixed fights and all kinds of stuff going back and forth and payoffs, and I was learning tips from this source and that source, and somebody told me, and then they played it for me over the phone, of a tape, of a videotape, but it was the audio part of the tape, where Bob Lee, then the president of the International Boxing Federation, was taking a bribe. There was a camera hidden in the television in this hotel room, like a Days Inn. I think it was in Virginia. Take that back. It was Doug Beavers from the Virginia Commission who gave him the bribe. Now, Doug was working with the FBI, and so Doug and them installed the camera. I guess they installed the camera in the TV. Bob Lee came in and he gave him $30,000. He said this money is from the fat man. The fat man was promoter Cedric Kushner. Okay. And then they mentioned some other guy during this taped conversation. And they were talking about Fuzzy Wuzzy. Well, Fuzzy Wuzzy was Don King. Anyway, that's what took place September 19th, 1998. A little sidebar to the Holyfield Bean fight. Now, back to Joe Frazier. A world heavyweight champion, 1964 Olympic gold medals, of course, 5'11", not the biggest guy in the world, 205 pounds, 208 pounds, of course, 37 fights, 32 wins. That one draw against Floyd Jumbo Cummings in his last fight, maybe it was a bit suspicious him getting a draw there. He might have lost that one, but the bottom line is Joe always had class in the boxing ring. He really did. Always had class in the boxing ring. Now we hear Joe Frazier getting his triumphs when he was heavyweight champion and Muhammad Ali was just a challenger.
Muhammad, I hope, I got a last minute call. Joe could make it, and I hope everything should be all right now. Because
well,
you know,
it looked like you just told me.
We don't want to stop any tapes or anything. We want to go straight ahead with this. You going to be all right?
Yeah, but you should have told me he was coming at least.
Well, here is Joe Frazier. Yeah. How are you?
Fine, mate.
What do you call Muhammad? Do you?
I call him Clay.
You call him Clay?
Yeah.
And you don't ever call him champ or anything like that, don't you?
Well, how do you feel about him? He was a champ. I'm the champ now, you know.
Good. Why were you so mad the other day? I saw you on television, news.
Well, it is a thing like this, Mike. I like go all over the country, and I don't believe in a lot of excitement anyway. Like only time people know that I'm in town, is like if I appear on a show or let's say a banquet, and here this guy come into my town, First of all, he wants to run me out of the gym. Secondly, he wants to run me out of town.
What do you mean he wants to run you out of the gym? He calls up and says, I want to work out or what?
No, he come in and tell me I got to leave town. Now, I live here, you understand? I ain't going nowhere, next time, I think he's going to come up on Old Guns Avenue and try to put me out the house. If I don't stop him now.
Yeah, you want to stop him?
I'm willing to stop him anytime, any place, anywhere.
You want to, but you want him to be in shape. You don't want to fight a man that's. He said he's a little out of shape.
No, well, I don't want no excuse. I mean, that's no excuse at all about it. He's out of shape. I mean, otherwise, he's been training just as long as I was, and I'm not even fighting.
Mike, you agitating.
No, but this.
I also got a crazy pair of bookends on him.
But,
I might be a tall, thin MC at the end of this show.
Now, wait a minute. Now, champ, you say that this man is only recognized as champ in certain states, and you're recognized throughout the world as the champ. And you have the belt.
Well, he's, my problems have nothing to do with him. He's got to earn a living, you understand?
It was what
he's got to keep. I mean, I wouldn't tell him to stop fighting because I'm having problems with.
But you tell him, call him up and tell him to leave town when you're here? Tell him to get out of the gym and all?
Well, I didn't actually put it that way. You know, I just said the town.
How did you put it?
The town's not big enough for two world heavyweight champs.
This show might not be big enough either, you know.
Yeah.
Could you beat this man?
Well, I'm 3 years out of training, about 25 pounds overweight. But
what do you weigh right now?
About 230. Fight weight's about 210.
What do you weigh? 20
pounds.
I'm about 215, and my fighting weight about 204. But I think if you have a chance to meet each other, let's say soon, I think I'll come down to about 199.
Mm-hmm.
So I can be fast.
Is
because I know I'm gonna need speed to catch it with him. You understand?
Now wait a minute. By that, are you implying that he's gonna be running around?
Oh, he's gonna put his bicycles on. No doubt about that. I haven't seen him.
7 days from that fight, you'll be a week old ghost.
That's right. Well, I don't know.
He doesn't look too frightened, but you mean before the fight he's going to be? You ever...
The only time I'm afraid of that I get frightened and nervous that he's not going to show up on time. That's what I'm afraid of.
Is this fight a real possibility, Muhammad?
All I say is this. I don't think it's justice to the boxing game that he don't have a chance to really show the world that he's the real champion. Not elimination or... a political title, but the real physical title. It's injustice to him that he can't tell his grandchildren or he can't look his fans in the eye and say that I won the title from the man who was actually the best, and he should have a chance at that.
You need a license to fight. Can you get it?
Well, I really don't know. It's up to the boxing authorities, you know.
Do you want to fight him?
Well, I would say this. If I did, it would only be like for the record of boxing. Like, I hold the title and I am the champion. And I really know I'm the champion. And he really, financially, he's the champion, you understand? So see, look at those diamonds. Can you get a camera on all those watches or anything?
Wait a minute. Hey, there's a little side you won't go beyond the microphones, guys, okay?
There was.
But you're going to see a real ghost here any second.
They were his watches and rings.
His watches.
Would this settle the championship once and for all if you two...
Well, you have another. My sparring partner's called champion too, James Ellis. He's giving it a.
He's
box.
Your sparring partner.
He was when I was boxing, and now he's fighting Henry Cooper in London, England.
That fight's been postponed, though.
Have it?
Yes.
I didn't know.
Cooper was injured, I heard.
I think he and Ellis would have to have a showdown, and then after they get their two halves and make one hold, then possibly.
No, but you did say you want to fight. Let's say both of us in the same night, 5 minute rest.
I said if I had to, I would.
Right?
I would if I had to.
Well, see, you ain't going to have time for no wrestling with me, you understand? Because every time you breathe, you're going to breathe right down on me because I'll be close to you every second.
Would you like to go a few rounds here, guys? Huh?
Well, you see, it's I don't mind.
I'm not joking, seriously.
I know you're not.
And I'm sure he's not joking, and I'm known for popping off and talking a lot, and I have no need to talk and boast to... If I ever had a license or something, then we would seriously consider fighting him. So it's all up to the boxing commissioners and the people.
Where would you like to fight?
Well, you ask these people, would they want to see us box?
Would you like to see?
You better believe it.
And that's sound luck all over this country.
Except, I mean, the people. If the people were voting, it would be on. Just a few people in
If you had your choice of locations, where would you want to fight, Muhammad?
Well, I don't really know. I think
it really doesn't make any difference to me. I mean, I was getting ready to get it on down to the gym yesterday. That's big enough down there for me.
Yeah, but you don't want to do that. I mean, this is going to be, this should be the biggest gate in history if you two meet. And you don't want to do it in the gym or all that.
Where would I want to fight? Yeah. It doesn't make no difference to me, you know what I mean? In hell, be just as good, you know? If you permit it, they permit it. You know, right here, it's good enough. Doesn't make no difference.
Well, Muhammad isn't in shape, and he's how many pounds over, and he doesn't have any trunks. Besides, fighters don't fight with their bare knuckles anyway anymore. You've got to, I mean, your hands have to be managed. You know, Soupy's sitting here
These are dangerous weapons. These are registered.
Why are they dangerous, Soupy?
Well, because they have nails in them.
Well, I want to wish, ladies and gentlemen, I do want to wish the best of luck to two fine athletes, Joe Frazier and Muhammad Ali.
Yeah.
Courtesy of the Mike Douglas Show, Ali and Frazier and comedian Soupy Sales. What do you say? He had dangerous hands because he had nails in them. Oh, you got to be kidding me. Corny joke. Bottom line is, on this day in 1982, the marvelous one, Marvin Hagler. Of course, the guy I think that could have beat Sugar Ray Robinson. Why do I say that? I think Robinson was ahead of his time. Of course, the great man, born Walker Smith Jr. I met him in 1984, spent some time around him. I mean, he was a great fighter for his time, but I think he's one of those guys that he was just overrated because he was ahead of his time. Now, I'm not trying to say Marvin Hagler was the greatest middleweight of all time because, you know, Roberto Duran almost beat him. I mean, he came close within a couple of rounds, of course, and Ray Leonard did beat him. But Tommy Hearns, of course, he and Tommy had that war in 1985. But in 1982, Marvin Hagler defended the World Middleweight Championship with a first-round knockout over William Caveman Lee. This was in Atlantic City. Now, if my memory serves me correctly, Caveman comes from Detroit, Michigan. Caveman, after this title fight, he fought a couple more times. And then I believe he started robbing banks. Was it banks or supermarkets or something like that? But he robbed something that had these money packs. And these money packs blew up with all this, like, blue dye, this green dye, something like that, right? So this money pack blows up on him, and he's going down the street with this money that he stole from this bank or this supermarket, one or the other. Anyway, the bank blows up, the bank packs blow up on him. He's got all this paint all over him and this and that. He gets pulled over by the police, and he tries to deny it. I kid you not. He tries to deny it. But that was William Caveman Lee. And if my memory serves me correctly, he might have been one of those guys they checked out earlier, like DeJohn Johnson, of course, Detroit. Now, as far as upcoming boxing concerned, well, no, let's talk about a fight that took place this past week. Well, Thursday night, NBC Sports Channel coming alive with a guy that won the contender at one point in time. I'm kidding you not. His name is Brandon, the Candon Adams. Now, 22-4, 14 KOs. Not a big puncher, but he scored a spectacular 8th-round knockout over a guy that was like 18-0 with 18 knockouts. I mean, talk about getting knocked out, the puncher getting drilled by the God. Anyway, Serhiy Buricek, now 18-1, 18 KOs. I think he's from Russia, but he's WBC number 7, IBF number 9, super welterweight. These guys hooked it up, and it was a fantastic fight for as long as it lasted. Adams was ahead. I think that Adams was behind, 69-63. 68-64 and 68-64. The time was 2:47. But man, you can't say more. That was one of the most. It was a serious knockout. In fact, how was this guy? I wouldn't box again for a year. I mean, I kid you not. He was a serious knockout. You get hurt like that, you should take a long, long time off. Because guess what? He was only sleeping. He was snoring. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it. Your inside look into the world of boxing and MMA. And yes, I said it. Size matters in two things, pornography and combat sports. You're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide on Sports Byline, WBC TV, coming to you, of course, the 4th edition, Saturday and Sunday, 11 a.m. Pacific Time, right here on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council.
Girl, and here is the soul. See, I'm trying to show love is right. Oh, show and tell, just a game I play when I wanna say I love you, girl. So show me and tell me that you feel the same way too. Say it to baby.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council.
I've been in the room where the song was recorded. I kid you not. You got to go to Motown. If you go to Detroit, go to Motown. It's on Grand Boulevard. You can get in for like $10. You walk all over, go down in the studio. It's in the basement of his old house. I'm talking about Berry Gordy. Of course, a little boxing there. Berry Gordy was a professional boxer. Then went 11-2 as a bantamweight with 4 knockouts. And he was trained by the Hall of Famer Eddie Futch. March 13th on the Zone. Battle of the Jockeys. Juan Estrada and Chocolito Gonzalez going to hook it up at 115 pounds. And on the same card, Jessica McCaskill will take on Cecilia Breakers in a rematch of a 147-pound championship for the entire world. WBA, BC, IBF, WBO. Bottom line is they're going to hook it up. 147, that'll be on the Zone the 13th. Also on the 13th is going to be David Benavidez. The aforementioned David Benavidez. Of course, I think the boxing's PhD calls him a potentially great fighter. Undefeated, of course. Yeah, but he got that background. Got a coke background. Take it on Ronald Ellis. Ellis is no bum. This should be a good fight. Super middleweights are going to hook it up with WBC Super Middleweight Title Eliminator next week. Of course, the eliminator is for a shot at Canelo Alvarez, the king of boxing. March 18th, NBC Sports Network returns with Alberto Machado versus Hector Tanajera. Those guys are going to hook it up at 135. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. 100. Take that back. Take that. 38 plus years now, knocking out all bums, often imitated but never duplicated. My name is Pedro Fernandez. Thank you so much for allowing me to spend some time with you with Ring Talk Live Worldwide, coming to you Saturday and Sundays, 11 a.m. Pacific time. We are WBC TV.